John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, "And in that day," so we can say today, because Jesus was forecasting a day that we're living in, "and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Of course, they didn't have to ask for anything. Jesus was there constantly providing for them, but that was about to change. And Jesus says, "I am going away, and when I go away, there's going to be a way that is made for your needs still to get met. And now you can go directly to the Father in my name. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, you will receive, and your joy will be full." He was talking to them in this particular setting when their hearts were sorrowful, because he was talking about his departure. He was talking about his death. And because they didn't understand what was happening, their hearts were heavy. And now he gives them this assurance that I'm sharing something with you so that your joy would be restored and your joy would be full. So trusting God in difficult times, we're going to talk about watch and pray tonight. There's two times Jesus used the phrase watch and pray, and the first is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 34 through 36, and let's take a look at that. Jesus said, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day, or his return, come on you unexpectedly or suddenly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." As Jesus is instructing his disciples here, he's saying unto them and unto us at the same time that there are certain things that weigh down or cause our hearts to become dull. And he identified it as carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that we're not sensitive or we're not aware of what's going on around us. And so we want to take heed to that instruction right there. Don't allow your heart to get weighed down or burdened or become dull or insensitive through carousing, drunkenness, or the cares of this life. And then he makes an emphatic statement saying that his day is coming, his return will happen, but it will be a snare. In other words, it's going to be a trap. And it's not going to look like what some people forecast. It's going to be a very ordinary day, according to Jesus. People are going to be, you know, eating and drinking and wedding and marrying and giving in marriage. And then suddenly he's going to come. So when we think about the end days, we do think about signs of the times and some of the things that are going to be happening. But those things are happening right now all around us. Those things are occurring, and they're happening more frequently all the time. And so what happens in this environment is we get used to it. We just all of a sudden just don't think anything of it. We just think, well, wow, I mean, there's always wars and rumors of wars. I mean, there's natural catastrophes, there's, you know, famine and pestilence, and pretty soon news isn't news anymore. It's just normal. And in that moment, we can lose our sensitivity and we can get dull. And in that moment in time, we can sort of forget what we're supposed to be doing. And the Lord could be, his return could be very soon, very, very, very soon. So the world has a way of desensitizing us. And that's an easy point to illustrate. As you guys know, just think about TV 30 years ago and think about TV today. And because people started to tolerate it 30 years ago, it's common today. And people have just become used to it. Well, that's just the way things are. Well, it's the way things are. It's because partly we permitted it and partly because it's prophetic. There's two pieces to that, and there's two sides to that coin. So God knew what was coming upon the earth, and he was instructing us. But one of the things that he says that would protect our hearts is if you're watchful and you're prayerful, watchful and prayerful. In other words, don't go to sleep on the job. And our responsibility is to uphold the standard of Christ and His Word until He returns, and to be faithful to the generation in which we have been born into. So in Luke's Gospel chapter 21, He's teaching on the end of days when He's talking about watching and praying. And those are going to be challenging or difficult days. Those are the days in which we're living in. And we're navigating them for the most part pretty well here in America. But things always aren't going to be what they are right now. Just like they've changed over the last 30 years, there's going to be an ongoing slippery slope, unfortunately, where we keep sliding downward. Now, I don't believe that in the midst of that downward slide that there's not going to be revivals, there's not going to be an awakening, there's not going to be salvations. But what is going to happen is there's going to be a separation of gray matter, and things are going to become more clear. They're going to be more black and white. And we see that even in, let's use politics as an example. Years ago, there were areas where people were willing to sit down at a table with people that were from a different party and compromise and come to a reasonable conclusion for the betterment of our nation. And now that's not even possible. In the environment in which they work, it's too divisive. And there, it's just that kind of behavior just isn't very common anymore. And that's unfortunate, but that's where things are. And part of that, as I said, is because we have permitted it. Maybe we haven't been as vigilant or watchful as we needed to on our watch. And because of that, certain people have come into power or authority. And maybe we haven't been as prayerful as we should have been. Maybe we, you know, just took things for granted and thought, hey, we're always going to be riding this wave. We're at the crest of the wave. And we forgot that we need to keep praying and we need to keep ourselves vigilant. And the enemy has therefore sown or put leaders into certain positions. And we're seeing the result of it as a nation. When Book of Proverbs just talks about that when the wicked are in charge, then the righteous' hearts are sorrowful or heavy. But when the righteous are in charge, then the people rejoice. And it's not hard to see today, you know, the results of unrighteous or ungodly leadership in our nation and what it's creating and what it's causing. Now, that doesn't mean it gives us a right to hate people or not to hate people, because our battle isn't against flesh and blood. So as a reminder, when we're praying for leaders, we're praying for them because God does not want them to perish. And on the same time, in the same note, I want to remind you that behind leaders or behind those that are in those positions of authority, there are principalities and powers and rulers that are trying to influence them for evil. But there's also, right, the host of heaven and the Holy Spirit that are trying to influence people for good. So that's why our prayers avail and matter so much, is because behind the scenes, there really is the real battle, and that's in the spirit realm. And watching and praying helps us to win and gain the victory for God. So the second time that Jesus mentioned watch and pray, that phrase in the same breath is found in Matthew's Gospel chapter 26. And if you just want to turn to the left, and this is just prior to his crucifixion. So Matthew 26 and 41, and Jesus made this statement: watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So here he is instructing us that through prayer, we can actually avoid temptation. And we can't pray that we won't encounter temptation, but by maintaining a prayer life, God can lead us around temptation for His name's sake. And so prayer has a preserving aspect to it, as well as a protective aspect, in that it protects us from deception in the end days, and also allows God to lead and guide us around temptation to avoid temptation altogether. And that's a tremendous blessing. So the word watch is vigilant, to keep awake, open-eyed, and on alert. That's what watch means. It really is taken from the illustration of a watchman on a wall. and that's during the night shift. So when Jesus is instructing, he is referring to the people. There are people that are watching over you while you're sleeping, that are paying attention to what's going on in the city to protect it from the enemy. And in the evening hours, those people have to do things differently than those that are working the day shift. In the day, everything's visible, it's recognizable, and there's not as many onslaughts or attacks by the enemy. But in the evening hours, that's where you know, you need to have your best people watching over the city. And so God is saying, you know, in the same way that a watchman is on the wall, that's the way that I want you to be living, and that's the way that I want you to be sensitive. So today, you know, when we talk about watch and pray, we need to have that same understanding that we've been entrusted at this time to watch over our cities, watch over our families, watch over ourselves. You know, Jesus said, we just read it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, take heed to yourself. And until we take heed to ourselves, it's really hard to help other people. It's another reminder that Jesus said, remove the speck from your own eye before you go examining the log in somebody else's. So the self-examination, the opportunity that he gives us to sort of assess where we are, and when we get that right, we're able to help other people get it right most of the time. So we need to be watchful about that. We need to be praying at all times and about everything. Some people say, you know, I really don't know what to pray for. And my simple answer to that statement is that if you have any problems, you already have a prayer list, and just start from there. You have any burdens, anyone that's on your heart. And, of course, Scripture gives us lots of people that we should be praying for and ways in which we should be praying. So we have to just remind ourselves that prayer is a very, very important and vital ministry. And so watching in the spiritual sense is including prayer with it. It's watching so that we pray effectively. One leads to the other. He didn't say pray and watch. He said watch and pray. And so by being watchful, by being attentive, by being alert, by being vigilant, by having our eyes wide open, by paying attention, we'll pray more accurately, more specifically, more fervently, more in prayer, more in faith, and we'll see more results. So we have to watch first, and then our prayers avail much. So we have to be aware that there's snares in the world. We don't want to get caught in the snares of the world. Jesus said that when he returns, it's going to be a snare to many people that are in the world. We don't want to get caught in that trap of just saying, you know, the way things are is the way they've always been, is the way they'll always will be. That's a dangerous mindset, because you understand if we allow ourselves to go there, then we begin to compromise. And we begin to say sin isn't sin anymore. It's just someone's idea of, and it's their moral belief. But there are no really absolute morals. There are no truths. And all those things couldn't be further from the truth. And that's because how did those things happen? People became dull. They became insensitive. They weren't alert. They weren't, their eyes weren't wide open. And so they just started accepting things and permitting them. And now, as a result of that, you know, here we are. Does that make sense? Okay. So this watching is a very, very powerful word in Scripture, and it's used many different times, Old Testament through the Psalms and also into the New Testament. And we're going to take a look at a few more verses here in a minute. So Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13. You're just in chapter 26, so just turn back a page. This is an instruction by Jesus, and he had just been teaching on the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Now, that's an interesting teaching, isn't it, in light of today, that five, you know, there were 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And he calls the account of a wedding and the bridegroom coming, and 5 were ready, 5 weren't. And then he makes this statement at the end of that teaching. In other words, 5 had oil, 5 didn't, 5 were prepared, 5 fell asleep, and they weren't prepared. and they weren't being vigilant. And then he said in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. There is a day and the hour, but what do we know? Because that's what's important. What do we know? We do know that there's signs of the times. So when you see the signs of the time, we have to behave in certain ways. We don't know the day or the hour, but I can see that it's upon us, it's around us, it's near unto us. And as a result of that, I can live accordingly. You know, I don't have to get caught in the trap. I don't have to get caught in the snare. I don't have to be deceived. I don't have to be overwhelmed by darkness. I can live as a child of the light. I can be a blessing. You know, I can be an effective witness. I can see God glorified. I can see fruit abound. And you can too. Because we're aware of what's happening, we can give an answer for the hope that we have for those that are hopeless right now. And there are numerous people that are hopeless. And they feel completely helpless as a result of that. But we can bring them hope, and in doing so, they can find help in the Lord as we have found help in the Lord. I find that to be very encouraging and important for us to remember that we just can't say, well, you know, Jesus said it was really going to get bad before he came, and I guess here it is. In the midst of that, he said to us, occupy till I come. Be vigilant. Those are military terms. Watch, occupy. That means be at your post, be doing what you're supposed to be doing in the spirit in which you're supposed to be doing it. So Jesus isn't militant, but he understands the disciplines that it takes in order to overcome deception. So these disciplines are very, very important for us if we're going to overcome the enemy of our soul. So in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter also gives us some instruction in regards to watching. 1 Peter 5, 8. And he tells us this, be sober. Now, Jesus said that our heart can become dull through carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. He listed three things. And let's just stop and consider what he's saying here, because Peter says something that aligns itself perfectly with what Jesus said. The first thing he says is be sober. Now, we know that sobriety means that you have all your faculties and are able to ascertain what's going on around you. When you're not sober-minded, or you're not sober, or you're under the influence of something else, then you're not as sharp. Your eyes aren't open. They're dull. You're unaware of what's going on. And as a result of that, we don't make really good or wise decisions. So part of the enemy's plan is just to get everybody intoxicated with the cares of this world and with carousing and with living lifestyles that are not going to allow them to be aware of the day and the hour in which they live. Can I get a witness? How many commercials do you see on TV now that are just promoting lifestyles, and it's all through, you know, alcoholic indulgence and other things? They just inundate your TV. You can't watch anything without it just being right there. And what they're trying to do is normalize it. And all the people that work with these people that are hurting and saying there's nothing healthy and nothing good about it. But they promote it as if it's the best lifestyle, and it's going to give you the most fulfilling life that you could have while you're here on the earth. And it's the farthest thing from the truth. It's the farthest thing from the truth. That's why God wants us to be filled with His Spirit and not filled with alcohol. Being filled with the Spirit is better than being filled with alcohol. And we're going to talk more about that on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. In case you didn't know, this is Pentecost Sunday. So what are we going to preach on Sunday? Pentecost. Because the person and the power and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is so, so vitally and crucially important for us fulfilling the Great Commission. But Peter, he instructs us let's continue in verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then he says in verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So there's nothing new under the sun. The same temptations you face, other people face. And the enemy always tries to isolate us and always tries to get us to believe that we're the only ones. And that's just not the case. There are other people that are going and fighting the good fight of faith and serving the Lord just like we are. But in order to resist the devil, we have to be watchful. And that way the devil's not able to destroy us through his deception. I like that Peter used a roaring lion. It means a lion that's prowling and stalking. And we know that when a lion roars, that what he's endeavoring to do is seeing who freezes. So when a lion roars, he's hunting. Or he's declaring, this is my territory, or this is my domain. And that's what the enemy's doing, is when he's roaring with his lies, his accusations, because he's a slanderer. That's what he does. He slanders us before God, God before us. He's slandering the word of God and trying to get people to freeze. And if he could get them to freeze, then he knows that he can take advantage of them, because when people freeze, they're afraid. And that's the tactic of the enemy, is fear. So just like a lion uses fear to cause his prey to freeze, that's what the enemy does. That's a great illustration, isn't it? It really helps us. And no, lions are nocturnal. How many of you have a cat in here? I'll pray for you later. Okay, but if you have a cat, you know they're most active at night. Dogs sleep when people sleep, and that's just the difference between a dog and a cat. Cats are up, they're hunting, they're busy. Who knows what they're doing? They're living part of their nine lives, I guess, in the evening time. And so we'll just let that be. So he gives us insight, Peter does, on how the enemy works. But through watching, we remain steadfast in the faith and are able to effectively resist the devil. I love that. Then Colossians 4:2 and 1 Corinthians 16:13. Let's read these two, because they just give us general instruction about the importance of watching. Colossians and 4 and 2. So if you want to find that general, the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 4:2. It says, continue earnestly in prayer. So here's prayer. Being vigilant in it with all thanksgiving. So be watchful. Be watchful. Be prayerful. With thanksgiving. And then in 1 Corinthians 16:13, and this is what God's word says. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. That's verse 14. So that's a call to us to be continually watchful, to stay sharp, alert, and aware of God. I'm going to finish by reading the last paragraph on your notes. It says, one man said it is more important to learn how to pray than to have a college education or be a millionaire. And I found that statement to be true, because there are times in life when our mind can't come up with answers to life problems and our bank accounts can't help us get the victory. But through faith in God, we can secure a victory and overcome the wiles of the devil. That is why we watch and pray. There are times in our Western world where we have this philosophy when it comes to doing something. Don't just stand there, do something. Have you ever heard that statement? And there's times where that's valid. But I believe, in light of tonight's message, sometimes God says to us at certain times, don't just stand there. Don't just do something. Stand there. Don't just do something. Stand there. Stand in what way? Stand and watch, and stand and pray. And then watch what God can do. There are times where God is working and we're active where He's working. And there's times where we're observing, we're paying attention, we're alert, and we're just inviting God into that situation. Thus, that's why we pray. And that's why we beseech the Lord on behalf of our nation, behalf of the lost, behalf of the needs that we have, because God's interested in your needs and He supplied them according to His riches and glory. So don't forget that God cares about you and your needs and the desires, the burdens of your heart. And thank God there's times where even when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit can pray through us with groaning, travails that can't be uttered in articulate speech, and we can pray in the Spirit, we can pray in the understanding, and all the while the work of God is being done. The work of God is being done. So watching and praying. We spend a lot of time talking about watching, but throughout the years, you've heard a lot more messages on prayer than you have on watching. But the watching allows us to be more specific and more on target with our prayers.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged or inspired you to God's best. If you have any questions about today's message, need prayer, or would like to learn more about Living Word Fellowship, please call 641-828-7119 or visit us at lwfknoxville.com.